first commandment of Almighty God was that of let there be light. Light was not an afterthought of God, but it was in the forethought of the Almighty. He knew that man could not live without light. You know, you and I can live without a lot of things, but we cannot live without light. We cannot. It is a proven fact scientifically that mankind cannot live without light. So rightfully so, the very first commandment of God was to let there be light. And the analogous nature of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of John 8 and verse 12 says, He says, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And Jesus said of us that we are the light of the world as well. Matthew 5:16, that we're to let our light shine before the world, that they might see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Now, I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about this subject of light. You and I deal with darkness every day. Every day in our world, you and I are dealing with darkness. We talk about the corruption that is in the world. We talk about how evil the world has become, but when you really stop to consider the fact that the world has always been evil from the very onset of the creation of the world. When God made man and fashioned him and placed him in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't long until man sinned. And even though he had light, physically speaking, he continued to walk in darkness and to walk away from his God. You know, there's so many things to be said about light. The Bible says that if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with him. And the blood of Christ forgives our sins. It does. Someone said, who is more foolish, the child who is afraid of the dark or the man who is afraid of the light? Better to light a candle than to curse a darkness, says an old Chinese proverb. Did you know that there are two kinds of lights in the world, the glow that illuminates and the glare that often obscures? And how that happens, instead of illuminating Jesus in a lost and dying world, sometimes we put a glare from our lives because we're focused more on self than we are the greater light who is God. There are two ways of spreading light, that is, to be a candle or to be a mirror that reflects the light of God. And then someone said that people are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and they shine when the sun is out. But when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is a light from within. There ought to be a light within each and every one of us. Do you realize that darkness does one thing? And it provides an opportunity for light to shine. It does. You would not see the light in the light of day. But the Bible teaches us that darkness offers us an opportunity to let our light shine. Sometimes I think maybe that's why God put us here in this world, to shine as lights in a world that is filled with darkness. We live in our own world of darkness. The sun is a very beautiful thing. In the afternoon, as it cascades across a beautiful lake or a beautiful wooded area, we understand how important that light is. This morning, you and I gathered in the light. Tonight, we gather in darkness. But we're able to gather because there is light. And the light tonight illuminates this building. It does. I've come to realize that the darker the world, the greater and brighter the light. It's true, isn't it? You ever thought about that? You walk into a dark room, it only takes just a little spark, just a little light from a candle or a flashlight to light that room. And it radiates to all that are in their room. That people can see it. They can. You and I, over the last several years, and I can truthfully say this, over the last 40 years, we have lived in what we call stressful times. Jesus said that we're to let our light shine before the world that they might see our good works. In this stressful time, however, when we look back at it, there are a number of things that occurred over the last 40 years that cause us great stress. And they cause us to reflect on the darkness. We think about the Vietnam War. Many of you served in the armed forces during the Vietnam War. We remember Watergate and the impeachment of a president. We remember that abortion was legalized in the U.S. and around the world. Who would have ever thought it? Engulfed in darkness. We remember the Israeli and the Palestine conflict that continued back during the 70s, and when they thought that they had established peace forever with Menachem Begin, who actually was at that particular time the president of Israel. But not the case. We remember the first Mideast oil troubles. We remember, do you remember when gas went to $1 a gallon? I was telling someone the other day, hey, I can remember when you could buy gas for 13 cents. For 13 cents. Isn't that amazing? Bill Chandler can remember when they were giving it away. I can remember when they were selling it for 13 cents. And when it went to $1 a gallon, everybody was enraged. I mean, it blew our mind. And what would those who lived during the 70s think now? You remember the 18% inflation and how dark the world was then, back during the Carter administration? You remember the resignation of President Nixon and all those problems that were often associated with it? Remember the impeachment of President Bill Clinton in the House of Representatives? We remember the Iranian hostage crisis. Remember that? That was a horrible thing. People were detained for months. When Ronald Reagan took office, he finally gave them an ultimatum, either to let them go or we will come get them. AIDS became a real problem and still is a big problem in our world today. The first Iraqi war back in 1992 and the problems in Bosnia. Remember O.J. Simpson, when we thought the world was engulfed in darkness? And the Branch Davidians over at Mount Carmel near Waco? You remember Somalia and all the problems that went along in that war? Or the World Trade Center attack on 9/11? And the Gulf War and Hurricane Katrina and Rita in Afghanistan as it goes on even today? Do you remember the tornado of 1980 right here in Palestine? And we thought our world was engulfed in darkness because of all these problems. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, that all of these problems are common to every generation. They are common to all people. Trouble is a part of our life. It is. Even in a very personal and local way. We all have family problems. There is not a person. I'm going to tell you something. I've been preaching here for almost 41 years. There is not a family in this church that has not had family problems in some fashion or another. And I say that in love. Now, I just blew the whistle on some of you. But I'm telling you, it is true. We've all had family problems, and I include myself, every one of us. I keep working on Audrey. But we've all had our problems. But others in previous generations had theirs. And I'm telling you, it won't stop with this generation. They will continue. And the world will be dark. And you and I need to remain as lights in our world. We talk about the economy and all the problems that are associated with it. Not only in other states, but in Texas as well. And it is true. Even in Texas now, we face problems economically. People face the foreclosure of their homes. People face health problems, and health problems are common to all. I dare say in the last few years, just about every one of us have been sick. We have a lot of people that are sick tonight. Sick because of the flu, or sick because of viruses, or sick because of any number of things. Well, how do you deal with stress and darkness that engulfs our world? It's amazing to me how people react in different ways. Sometimes people take that chicken little approach, and when we throw up our hands and there's nothing we can do, we run scared all the time. Sometimes people take what we call the doomsday approach, and we're always preaching gloom and doom. Or the approach of woe is me. Nobody has ever faced the darkness like I've had to face it in my life. And if you had to go through what I had, if you had to walk through the dark valley like I walked through it, you wouldn't be preaching that. I'm telling you, we all walk through that dark valley. We've all been through the valley of the shadow of death with our loved ones. It's true. And some people take the woe is me approach. Some take the exaggerating approach. We need to quit exaggerating. People make it worse than it is. News media has a good way of doing that. They do. And then sometimes we take the approach of, well, we'll fix it. We'll fix it. When we may not be able to fix it. And sometimes people expect us to fix it. And you can't always fix everything, folks. But then there are those who take the Christian perspective, and that is we let God fix it. We let God fix it. The Christian perspective. In the book of Romans, the 13th chapter, verse 1 and following, the Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." And even though we live in a world, and even though we live in a nation where we do not agree politically with everything that goes on, we still have this mandate from Almighty God, whether we like it or not, that says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power," listen, "but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God, and whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist," notice what he says, "they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake," he says. "And for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." 1 Timothy chapter 2, when you think the world is really engulfed in darkness, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 states, listen to it, "I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplication and prayers and intercessions of thanks be made," notice this, "for all men, for kings." When was the last time you prayed for the kings of the world? When was the last time you prayed for the Queen of England? When was the last time you prayed for the ruler of Iraq? Ahmadinejad in Iran. When was the last time you prayed for kings and for all those that are in authority, for the president, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty? And you may not have voted for him. You may not agree with him. I certainly don't on a lot of things. I've made that perfectly clear. But we still must pray for them. As we pray for our Congress, You know, when you really consider the fact that those who lead us in Washington need our prayers probably more than anyone. And I mean sincerely, folks, praying about it. Asking God, here's what do you do? Some people say, well, what do you pray? Pray that God will soften their hearts. Pray that God will awaken them to what is right and what is wrong. Pray that they will allow us to live our lives in such a fashion to exalt our Father who is in heaven. We must do that. We must. Christians are different from the world. We are. That's why we're lights. We have to be different. We have to be a lighthouse. And our light must always be burning. Too many of us are like the neon light. On, off. On, off. On, off. Our light must be steady, regardless of where we live. Because Jesus again said in Matthew 5, so let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul, having your conversation, and that word conversation in the original language meant the way you walk, the way you live, the way you talk, the way you act. So having your lifestyle, he says, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you, listen to this, as evildoers, they may by your good works, see your good works, see, which they shall behold or see, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, there's some things that you and I ought to remember. As a matter of fact, there are a number of things that we ought to remember. We ought to remember staying the spiritual and faithful course, because it is the call of every Christian in every place at every time. You see, the reason we need to do that is because public opinion is constantly changing. It is. Constantly changing. It's like those up in Washington, if I could allude to that once again. We almost went over the physical cliff. And they were talking about how we're going to tax more so we can eliminate the national debt. And now it's changed again. We want to tax more so we can use part of that money to spend on new projects. Public opinion changes. That's why we need to stay the course of God. God's word and his standard of righteousness never change. You see, in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, God says, I change not. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And in Matthew 24 and verse 35, notice what Christ says. He says, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will not pass away. Peter says, the grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord abides forever. God doesn't change. Men do. But not God. He's there all the time. All the time. We're called to be faithful sowers of the gospel and examples of the right kind of life. Oh, how the world needs a light tonight. People who are interested in serving the Lord are called by Him and by the same standards, regardless of time, regardless of culture, regardless of experience. No matter how dark the darkness gets, let's all be God's servants. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, is just a little book in the Old Testament. People rarely ever read it because they think it's so insignificant. Oh, there's some books of the Old Testament people read, like Isaiah, or perhaps they would go back to the Pentateuch or to the Law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, or they might perhaps read the book of Psalms or Proverbs or Ecclesiastes or the Song of Solomon, and they take excerpts from that and they read them and they reflect upon them and they put them within their heart. But the book of Habakkuk is not a book that people often read. But contained in that little narrative in the Old Testament are some of the richest words to ever be found. Notice what the prophet said here. He said, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." Listen to what he says. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about a depression. He's talking about not a recession, but he's talking about a depression. Nothing is productive. The fields are not producing. The fruit trees are not bringing a harvest. There's no cattle in the field or even any in the stall. But notice what he said. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation." I will joy in the God of my salvation. David in the Old Testament said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Psalms 127. "Of whom shall I fear?" He's my light and he's my salvation. Several years ago, Jim Ed Brown, who's a country music star, along with his two sisters, and they were really called the Browns, they actually sang a song that became number one on the country charts. And it was really taken from an old poem that was written many years ago, back in the 1800s, by a man by the name of Tobias Simon. It was called The Old Lamplighter. It has a lot to say about how we ought to live. "He made the night a little brighter wherever he would go, the old lamplighter of long ago. His snowy hair was so much whiter beneath the candle glow, why, the old lamplighter of long, long ago. You'd hear the patter of his feet as he came toddling down the street. His smile would cheer the lonely heart. You see, if there were sweethearts in the park. For he'd pass a lamp and leave it dark, remembering the days that used to be. For he recalled when things were new, and he loved someone who loved him too, who walks with him alone in memories. He made the night a little brighter wherever he would go, the old lamplighter of long, long ago. His snowy hair was so much whiter beneath the candle glow, the old lamplighter of long, long ago. Now, if you look up in the sky, you'll understand the reason why. The little stars at night are all aglow. He turns them on when night is near. He turns them off when dawn is here. The little man we left so long ago, he made the night a little brighter wherever he would go. The old lamplighter of long, long ago." Do you know and do you realize that God calls us to be a lamplighter? Remember years ago, and even in Palestine, they had the oil lamps, and someone would come along at night and light those lamps for people to see? You and I are to help light the light of others. It is imperative that we reach out and take a hand in darkness and bring it into the light. God has called upon us to do so. And just as Jesus gives us hope through the light of His love and salvation, we too must be a lighthouse to those who walk in darkness. Lighthouse. Light shining to those who need it most. And you know what? There are many in Palestine who need it. You don't have to go far and wide. But we believe in mission work. We believe in television work. We believe in spreading the gospel expeditiously in any way that we possibly can, because we know that the message saves souls. Just this last week, I had a lady call me from Longview. Didn't know the woman. Member of the Primitive Baptist Church, and told me she watched our program, Give Me the Bible, regularly, and had a Bible question she wanted me to answer. I didn't ask her why she didn't go to her own preacher. But I was glad she called. It was an opportunity to be a light. You know, you and I have that same opportunity every day, to let our light shine. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is your shining? Is it shining for others to see? And better yet, do they see it? You may think it's shining, but if they don't see it, it probably isn't. So I hope as you leave this place tonight, and if you need to respond in a public way, then certainly, you know, we stand ready and willing to assist you as Christians to help light your fire once again. But if you leave this place tonight, maybe you just need to raise the wick a little. Maybe you just need a little bit more oil in your lamp. Maybe you just need to turn up the wattage a little. And I hope you'll do that. You don't have to talk about how great you are as a Christian, because from what Christ said, if we live that Christian life, people will see it. He said, "Let your light shine, that they might see your good works." And as a result, they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you have no light. Your world is engulfed in darkness. I know that sounds dismal, but it's true. That's why it's important for people to become children of God by faith and obedience to the will of God, to be baptized and then raised. And there is a light that really takes control of us. It's hard to describe, but when one is baptized into Christ and he comes up out of that water and the transition has taken place, that light begins to be seen. It does. So tonight, if your light is burning low, let it radiate for all to see. And if you need the prayers of the body of Christ here for self or others, don't be reluctant to come while we stand and while we sing.